T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dr. Todd Allerin is joining us live this morning. He is Director of Infectious Disease for South Shore Health in Weymouth, Massachusetts. And Dr. Allerin, we're talking about this new Johnson & Johnson vaccine. They have begun shipping 4 million doses nationwide. This vaccine specifically was tested on variants. For that reason alone, does this one stand out more than the others?
Good morning, Susan. You know, I think this is a really good day. I think the key is, you know, the fact that it's a single dose, the fact that it's, you know, markedly reduces severe infections, you know, no hospitalizations or deaths after 1 month of getting this vaccine, the fact that it can be stored in a refrigerator. These are all the things that really make it stand out. I think the fact that it was tested at a different time and with, you know, in countries that had much more variants is the reason we can't compare the numbers to the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines. It's just not, it's like comparing apples and oranges.
Should we not compare any numbers when looking at that? Obviously, it's important for when these vaccines go up to review to look at the efficacy rates and things like that. But, you know, when these get reported out into the public and people start wondering, well, you know, 85 or is it 60, whatever, and this versus that, I mean, should we just be saying, bottom line, you get this vaccine, there is basically no chance you're going to die from COVID and a very, very slim chance you'll ever end up in the hospital because of it?
I mean, I think it's a good question. The question is, how transparent should we be with the data? And I think, you know, I think transparency is important, you know, and I think we just have to put this into perspective. Like you said, the numbers are really, really encouraging. But I do want to remind people that in the real world studies, you know, there are people who get vaccinated who ultimately do succumb to COVID-19. It's a very small number. But just a reminder, the vaccine is really powerful, and it's important that whenever you're in line, whatever vaccine is there, just roll up your sleeves and get it. I for sure, if right now I were eligible for vaccination and it's the J&J vaccine, I would take it in a second.
You know, it's been a slow rollout so far. Now the month of March is here. Do you think this month is going to see a big difference, the month that maybe the vaccine started to get fast-tracked?
You know, I wish I had a crystal ball. I'm going to tell you, it really is a race between vaccination and variant. The real question that no one can answer is, are we going to see a variant surge? And I do think it's very possible that we will, but my hope is because there's a lot of natural infection from people who've gotten infected already, and because more of the population is getting immunized, I really think we're going to see less hospitalizations and deaths than we would normally see. Another way of saying it, I do think the worst is behind us. I think the fall-winter phase is going to be the worst of this pandemic.
And because of that, so many more people are getting vaccinated. And for the most part, those are people who are, you know, vulnerable to COVID, older people, people with underlying conditions. Those are the people who are getting the vaccinations first and at a quicker rate. You know, we just asked another guest about this, but is it time to start laying the groundwork to have some concrete plans for reducing a lot of these restrictions all across the country? They did something like that over in the UK last week, saying, you know, at our rates of vaccinations, this is what to expect in April, in May, in June, as far as what you are able to do. We really have like nothing like that here in the US that leaves a lot of people wondering, well, you know, what's the point of all this? I get vaccinated and, you know, people still tell me I can't do anything. Is it time to come forward with a plan like that?
I agree completely. I think we really need, and this, when we talk about the coordination between the feds and the state, this is really what we're talking about here. You know, everyone has to get together. There are a lot of logistical challenges. The two-dose vaccination challenge is huge, right? That puts a lot of stress on the companies. So having a J&J vaccine that's a single dose is really going to help with that. I do believe that what we're hearing, that any American who wants to get vaccinated could be eligible by summer, not including young children, obviously. I do believe that. I think that's a very reasonable timeline.
What about kids under the age of 18 and this vaccine? When do you think that that'll be offered to them?
Well, it's going to be, they're going to start studying it in clinical trials, like, imminently. And remember, Moderna and Pfizer already have their phase 3 trials, you know, enrolling or nearly fully enrolled.
I'm wondering on this, if, you know, because parents with young children will be facing this question, and the world will hopefully look a lot different than it does right now when these vaccines are approved for children. I mean, will we come to a point where, you know, the vaccine in younger kids isn't recommended or isn't needed if all the vulnerable population who wants to be vaccinated is? We know that COVID does not really impact those, you know, under a certain age all that much. Is vaccination even going to be necessary for those groups?
Well, it's a good question. Remember, for the flu vaccine, you know, it is 6 months and older. So you could imagine, envision ultimately that most children, the COVID vaccine is recommended. But that remains to be seen. I mean, again, right now we're just looking at ages 12 and up. So, you know, but after that, my guess is we will be looking at a younger age population as well. But that part's not entirely crystal clear. How young will the eligibility be? But yes, that's the question. Is this going to be like an influenza where we need to get a booster every year or every couple of years? And that is possible. I think viral eradication is going to be very challenging with this virus.
Dr. Ellerin, thanks so much. Dr. Todd Ellerin from South Shore Health is joining us live.